Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Joining us in 30 minutes, we promise today, Brian Westbrook, former Eagles running back who will join us at 3:30, we promise. But joining us now, he never played for the Eagles, but man, we love him anyway. That is one Shiel Kapadia. Hey, Shiel.
How we doing, guys?
We're doing
what up, Shiel?
Good, Shiel. We're doing good. Before we get to the Rams game, of course, as usual, we want to talk to you about the Eagles passing game and Jalen Hurts. And read in a post you did on The Ringer, that was the excellent post, you know, looking ahead to the playoffs or the games this weekend. You mentioned in a post about the Eagles passing game that according to success rate, in the last 10 years, there have been 219 playoff performances by quarterbacks, and Jalen's ranked 205th or 204th, and every quarterback behind that, those games were lost by that team. So first, could you explain what success rate is? Because there's a lot of numbers out there that people see. Could you explain how that works?
Yeah, it just means something positive happened on the play. So that could be a completion that went for a first down, a scramble that went for a first down, a completion on an early down that picked up a certain number of yards. So all the negative plays would be, you know, incompletions, sacks, passes that didn't gain a lot of yards, all those. So the big point there, without boring the entire audience here, I mean, it might be too late for that, but the big point is that most of the time when you have a passing game like the Eagles had last week in the playoffs, really, if you look at the last 10 years in the NFL, it's rare for that team to win. And so, you know, I've been struggling all week with how much do I actually need to talk about this and not, because they keep winning and they're two games away from getting to the Super Bowl. At the same time, I just keep having the sense that if and when the season falls short and they lose, I think we can all look at it and it feels kind of predictable, you know, to predict what we would be talking about after that loss.
So is there this isn't how I feel, but is there, could you make the case that the stat is not capturing what he is supposed to be doing? Like, could you make the case that with this Eagles team at this point and what he is used to do, that like, you know, sometimes QB rating doesn't calculate what a quarterback does correctly, or QBR or whatever. Could you look at it and say, look, with this team, with what they want him to do, that like maybe he played better than we perceive that he did?
I mean, you could make that case. I would just say it's not just Hurts. It's really reflective of the whole passing game. So I know we've had this whole conversation all season long, and everyone has it been Jalen Hurts? Is it Kellen Moore? Is it Sirianni? Are there other factors at play here with the passing game? But I think, you know, you can't really, I at least don't believe you can make the argument that the passing game looked good last week. Now you can say, hey, the way they're playing, and I think this is what you're alluding to, is that don't make mistakes, don't turn the football over, and everything else is secondary, because the run game's going to be awesome. The offensive line's going to be good, and the defense is going to be awesome. So, yes, I would say the statistic doesn't necessarily capture that aspect of it if you wanted to make that argument.
Yeah, do you believe that they can win this way, continue to play this way, Shield, whether it's this week if they happen to get by the Rams, taking on Detroit next week if they win, or if they play Washington next week? Do you think they can continue to win this way?
To me, it's not about, like, the volume, you know, like how many yards do they pass for. It's about when they do pass, what does it look like? You know, you can look at that first game against the Rams, and it's not like they threw the ball all over the field. They ran for over 300 yards, but when they did need to pass, they passed well. So to answer your question, if they pass the football when they call a pass play or whatever, if it looks like it did last week, every week going forward, do I think they can win the Super Bowl? The answer is no to that. But also, that was a one-game sample, and they've had other games here in the past. You know, this was very similar to that Carolina game, in my opinion, you know, what their passing game looked like. And obviously, after that game, they bounced back, and it looks a lot different against the Steelers. So I think you need that improvement to get through, maybe not even necessarily this week. I mean, this week they're big favorites. I think you can run the football, play defense, and be okay. I think those last two games and beating the Lions potentially on the road and winning in the Super Bowl, obviously, in my opinion, you're going to need more from the passing game.
So here we are playing the Rams. The Rams had a pretty strange season in that they started the year with a lot of injuries. They start off 5-6. They finished the year, I think, 5-1, and then a really impressive playoff win on Monday night against the Vikings, all things considered. I guess the question is, how good do you think the Rams actually are?
Yeah, I think they're a solid team. I don't think they're a great team. I think, like, their A-plus performance is really good because they've got the quarterback. And they've got the coach where, you know, if they play their, you know, A-plus game, then they can put up a lot of points. We saw them beat the Bills and put up 44 points. But my thing on the Rams coming into the playoffs was I didn't think they could do that multiple weeks, you know, 3 weeks in a row and come out of the NFC and get to the Super Bowl. I think Matthew Stafford, you look at his age and you look at the way their season has gone, he put up those monster numbers again in that game against the Bills. And the next 3 weeks, they didn't score over 20 points. So I think on paper, the Eagles have a lot of matchup advantages in this game, and I think they have a pretty big talent advantage in this game.
And are the Rams a different team today than they were when the Eagles played them in November?
Like, their defensive performance against the Vikings was probably their best of the season. Now, was that a one-game thing where they figured out a way to, you know, stifle Sam Darnold, or is that a trend? They did have some better defensive games down the stretch. I still don't fully buy in that unit. You know, I think they've been very good in the red zone. If you look at them throughout the rest of the field, they haven't been great. I think their pass rush is very good, but when their pass rush doesn't get home, their secondary isn't very good, and I think this Eagles offensive line, if you can protect Jalen Hurts, if you can run the football, that you're going to, you know, you have a chance to expose that Rams defense. I think season long, it has not been a great unit.
Yeah, one Eagles defensive question. How much do you think the loss of not having Nakobe out there impacts the defense?
Yeah, I do think it's a big deal. Now, it's one starter, but you look at linebacker and you look at the way Sean McVay wants to play with a lot of play action, with a lot of motion, you know, really messing with the linebackers and trying to expose those guys and throw the ball in the middle of the field. So I do think it is a factor, and that's why, you know, it all ties together. I think the defense is still going to be really good, but it might not be quite as good because Nakobe Dean was playing at a high level. So how do you make up for that? Well, there are other areas of the team, like we just mentioned with the passing game, that have to be better. So, yeah, I would expect McVay's game plan in a big way to target Oren Burks or Jeremiah Trotter Jr. or whoever's playing linebacker alongside Zach Bond and say, hey, let's mess with that guy a little bit and see if we can attack him in the middle of the field.
I've been trying to contain my excitement about Jeremiah playing Sunday. Obviously, happy for the young man. He's going to get an opportunity out there. And there's no disrespect or slight towards Oren Burks, but I think this could go a long way for Jeremiah as far as potentially solidifying himself a spot for next year in that rotation if Nakobe doesn't come back healthy next year. So I think it's a great opportunity for Jeremiah to get out there.
I mean, I'm looking outside the window, a little snow coating. We get a little snow on the field. We get Jeremiah Trotter Jr. with a tackle for loss.
Come on, Axe, bring out the Axe. You know it.
That place will be going wild. So it is exciting. I'm curious to see how they – if they actually do rotate those guys. Does Trotter Jr. play maybe some of the early downs when you're expecting run a little bit more? Mm-hmm. How do they just rotate them? possession by possession. But yeah, that was very interesting what Vic Fangio said this week, and he's been a pretty straight shooter all season long. When he says something like that, you pay attention.
Oh, yeah.
It comes true on game day. So I'm excited to watch him as well.
So, Shield, today on the show is Tell the Truth Thursday, and we respect all of our listeners, but we do feel like sometimes when they call up, they do a little chest thumping about how good the Eagles are. So we really want to dial in on exactly how good. So what we're trying to do is rank likelihood to win the Super Bowl, and we saw on NFL.com, one of the writers there had the Eagles as fifth most likely to win the Super Bowl. What teams would you place ahead of the Eagles right now, if any, in likelihood to win this year's Super Bowl?
Oh, my goodness. Likelihood to win this year's Super Bowl. Okay, I'm going to put the Chiefs there.
Yep.
I think they belong there. I have to put the Lions there because the Lions are playing at home in the NFC Championship. They will be slight favorites against the Eagles if that ends up being the matchup. So I would put them there. And then I might put the you really could put the Eagles third. I might put the Eagles third on that list because the Bills and the Ravens have to play each other.
Yeah,
this weekend. So I'm looking at that, and I think those are two very good teams, and either of them could win the Super Bowl, but the Eagles don't have to do that. They're big-time favorites against this Rams team. So I think I would put the Eagles third, and then I'd probably go Bills-Ravens after that.
All right. Shiel, every week at Thursday, 4 o'clock, when you join us, you make your prediction. But these predictions mean more now because the games mean more. So your official prediction for Eagles-Rams on Sunday.
You know, I noticed Fritz, when I got a couple wrong, he would bring it up. But, you know, season-long record.
Oh, that's how he is.
In some of these picks. I don't think he's mentioned anything. I like the Eagles in this game big time. I think this is going to be, I don't know, blowout is the right word. I got 27-14 to just get it out there.
Oh, wow. Classic Homer pick.
I think they're going to run the football all over this Rams defense. And I think they're going to create some turnovers with their own defense. And I think by the time you get to, you know, the 6-8 minute mark of that fourth quarter, it's just going to be a party down there, and we're all going to be looking forward to that highly anticipated NFC Championship game in Detroit.
One bonus question on this, because we were talking about it with Elliot on Tuesday, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, if you had a pick, a head coach quarterback combo, Sean McVay, Matt Stafford, or Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts, on their own, who would you pick?
Like, I just ended on a positive note.
Well, no. It leads to it. Leads
what a
to
bad guy.
It leads to a second question. It leads to a second question.
I think Stafford and Hurts is. I would go McVay and Stafford.
Okay,
there you go.
So saying that. Just thinking back, and I know you didn't prepare for this, but I just wonder how many times you would pick a team in the NFL playoffs who you think has the advantage in that duo. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's such an interesting Eagles team, because I have a lot of respect for Sirianni specifically. Like, Sean McVay, I think, is probably the second best head coach in the NFL, but it's just so rare that at least as I think about it off the top of my head, that you would pick the team that you, in the playoffs in the NFL, that you feel like has the disadvantage there.
It's true. I mean, a lot of times when I look at the matchups, I say, all right, which team is better in the passing game? But this Eagles team is so overwhelming in all the other areas. The defense is so dependable and reliable. The offensive line is the best in the NFL. And it just, to me, feels like a matter of time in all these games where, even if it looks ugly, Saquon's going to make a play. A.J. Brown's going to make a play. So it's like the all Jimmy's and Joe's team is really their offense. It's not like, wow, what they're doing schematically is brilliant or anything like that. It's just like their guy's going to be better than your guy at some point throughout the course of a game. So they can, even if they don't necessarily always have the edge at quarterback or whatever it might be, they can still win those games.
All right, Shield. Well, hopefully next week, this time, Thursday at 3, we are talking to you about the Eagles in the NFC Championship game.
All right, guys. Take care. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, Shield. Shield Kapadia. That was a little bit of dirty pool for me. It's just asking that question after but the question popped up in my head, and I thought he would be an interesting one to answer that.
Yeah.
We have to say, and this happened, I don't know if it was last night or this morning, but rest in peace to the great Bob Uecker, 90 years old. 90 years old is quite a run.
Man, give me 90. I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. I might not want to make it tonight.
Right now.
Yes. legendary play-by-play announcer. And then, of course, became, and he was, you know, because of Major League, became even more famous nationally. But a guy that you never really heard any bad story about ever, and is exactly what, in my opinion, a play-by-play baseball announcer is supposed to be, which is not one way, but particular. Like, you know, like different in a way that is...
is unique.
That unique in a way that's unmatched. In the way that HK was, that Fransky is in New York when I was up there when John Sterling is. Just very specific, unique. Vin Scully, the GOAT.
Did he play for the Phillies?
1966 and 1967.
Okay. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. But a total GOAT. Yep. Just awesome. You must have been a Uecker guy, right?
Oh, yeah. Just a bit outside? Come on.
Yeah.
Just a bit outside.
And also passed away, and I know you guys probably don't care about this much, but David Lynch, who is a legendary movie director, and I don't know if you remember the show Twin Peaks, but
Twin Peaks
was David Lynch, and then he, the original Dune, The Elephant Man, Blue Velvet, Mulholland Drive, all his movies, Lost Highway, super weird, but that's what I kind of like, so.
No, you're right, we don't care.
I know, I care.
Which is why you mentioned it.
Yeah, I care about David Lynch. Just two very different goats that die in one day. Yes. It kind of sucks.
Give us Bob Uecker. David Lynch, I have no idea who that is.
I tweet at Ike that David Lynch is also a goat. That's all I want you to do. Every once in a while, I need that for me. I know I'm the only one here, but I wanted to say because it just happened.
All right.
215-592-9494. It is Tell the Truth Thursday. Where do you think the Eagles rank in the hierarchy of teams most likely to win the Super Bowl? I have them fourth. Jack has them third. Ike has them up to second.
And barreling towards one, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though I see that we don't wait until the segment is over before we actually put the video out.
What video?
Well, I'm already out of saying third.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, the internet goes quick. You know, Justin,
happened in the first segment. I changed by the time the first segment was over with.
But here's, no, it was second segment you changed.
Oh, it was the second segment?
Yeah,
okay.
Second segment. Here's, because we came back from the second segment. Here, I'm going to ask Justin, because Justin's our video guy for the show now. Justin, what I want you to do is reply to that tweet with another video with Ike moving up to second. And then eventually in the show, when he comes to first, that video is going to get a billion retweets. No. I want the second video. All right. 215-592-9494. Orlando from Wilmington. Orlando, you're on WIP. What's up, Orlando?
Oh, beautiful guys, man. Thanks for having me. This beautiful radio station representing all season landscape and our past. Hey, guys, look, I got an opinion myself, man. You know I'm a Commanders fan.
Oh. Okay.
And listen. They all rank how they're supposed to be ranked, correct? And I'll tell you what, by the time it's all said and done, the Eagles are going to be ranked second, just right where they at.
So you're a Commanders fan that's actually an Eagles fan, too?
No, I'm just a Commanders fan.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. All my friends are Eagles or Cowboys. My nation is somewhere else, not this local. I just want to say one thing, because it seems like everybody – giving suggestions on all the teams that are ahead of everybody, but it's an even playing field. Look, guys, for real, I think it's going to be us and y'all. The tables are set for us.
I hope so.
So I hope y'all better make it. We're going to make it.
Well, listen, I'll tell you what. If the Commanders win Saturday night, the Rams may just don't even go to the link. Just go straight back to L.A. Just catch the first flight in the morning Sunday back to L.A. Because with the opportunity to host the NFC Championship game, they got no shot at winning. No shot at winning. I'm talking about the Rams.
The Rams.
Yes. Yeah. So if the Commanders win Saturday night, that means if the Eagles win, we're hosting.
So there's no chance if that happens they get a little look-aheady? The Eagles, you know?
I don't think so. I think they come out pumped up knowing that they got a great opportunity to host it.
Oh, my God. Okay. It's your opinion. I'm telling you, the tables are set. What an NFC Conference Championship from the same division.
I hope you're right.
The Raiders are going to be off the wall, off the roof, the Raiders. Look, my quarterback is in this dance right now. We have the chance to do something special.
Isn't this cute?
Yeah.
This is depressing. This is a rookie quarterback. Ain't never been a rookie quarterback.
Hey, Orlando. My boy B. Mitch is on right now with J.P. Finley down there, man. You want to talk Commanders and get in your community with the band? That's great. We only care that you win Saturday.
Yeah, just win Saturday. That's all we want. Actually, this will be cute. Orlando, why don't you tell me what you think of Josh Harris as an owner?
Oh, there you go.
Josh Harris, listen, ever since he got there, man, he made the right moves, man. I love this guy.
Can you put your seatbelt on?
Yeah, it sounds like you're beeping or your door's open or something.
Listen, man, I'm trying to tell you, what a better conference champion.
Put your seatbelt on. Can you put your seatbelt on?
Whatever we're trying to get, we got to go through, y'all. I'm trying to tell you, nobody can play us.
We're not trash talking with Commanders fans until y'all win Saturday.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be hard. I ain't saying I can't get, but we're going to do it game by game.
All right.
We got to establish the run. Bottom line.
Who is we? You talking about us or the Commanders?
He's talking about Commanders. Hey, Orlando, just real quick, if Josh Harris was in front of you, would you give him a little kiss?
Ah, oh, man, listen, I give him a big hug, man.
What about Magic? Really want to thank our fans.
Magic down there.
Peter, the man with all the right moves so far.
All right.
I see somebody pick up Josh Harris Monday night.
Thank you, Orlando. What's that?
In celebration.
Oh, did they?
I think somebody opened like
Sunday night, you mean?
Was it Sunday night? Yes, Sunday night. Yes, Sunday night. On the sideline. I think I literally saw a Redskins official, team official,
or a
coach.
Yeah. Oh, pick him up and celebrate?
Yeah, like picked him up and swung him around.
Dude, I need a Gatorade bath on Josh Harris, man.
Well, I mean,
think about how weird he'd be.
Dude, if you are a Commanders fan, it has been heaven for them this year.
Oh my God, a completely different world. And he's getting, that stadium is horrible.
Right.
He's getting him a new stadium. They have a franchise quarterback. They won a playoff game.
Yes.
It must be like they woke up in bizarro world. You know, none of those things happened with the Commanders.
Yeah.
It's actually,
for 20 years, none of that happened under Dan Snyder.
Yeah, they had the moment with RG3, but that ended.
Yes.
Right.
And Dan Snyder,
I don't even know, did they win a playoff game with RG3?
No, because he got hurt in the playoff game.
Remember, okay. Didn't he keep playing in the playoff game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, Josh Harris, great owner.
Did turn the Sixers around.
They
did.
They didn't exist in this town before. Elliot tweeted the other day. Somebody asked me, Elliot tweeted the other day that he can't remember the Sixers ever being as invisible as they are now. And I'm like,
oh, hell yeah.
Elliot,
did he start following sports in 2016?
Yeah. Like,
they were dead from 2004 until 2013.
13, basically, yes.
They didn't exist. They won a playoff series and nobody cared when they beat the Bulls. Nobody cared at all.
I was at that damn game.
When you hit the free throws?
Yes.
I jumped
up on the table.
Yep. Yeah. I came on the radio after that game as like I was an Iggy guy. Mm-hmm. And it was honestly, to go on the radio as an Iggy guy after he hits those free throws.
Guy. Yeah. But that game and the game 5 against Boston.
Was it good? Yes.
I was at that game.
Yeah.
I might have saw you at that game.
I was at that game.
Yeah. I think I saw you at that game. Yeah. To get it. No, it's a game 6.
Yes,
Force a game 7. Game 7 to Boston. Yes, that was a good. That was a good game.
Yes,
Ike being an Iggy guy is actually surprising to me.
Oh yeah, I was an Iggy guy.
Well, because he couldn't score, and then you're a bucket guy. He couldn't shoot.
Yeah, but you know what? Back then it was Iggy or Thad.
Oh well, that's pretty
right.
Thad's still playing, right? Yeah.
I mean, I know.
Young might be still. Is he?
He's been playing on like the Bulls as like the ninth man for about 6 years.
I don't know if
you
he's
were
playing this year.
Thad Young or Iggy.
Yeah.
Iggy, man.
Those were the choices we were making at the time. He got in a fight with my wife at that Boston game. Left early. But then we went to Game 7 in Boston, and she tried to fight a bunch of Boston fans for me. So
Val's a little pistol starter.
Oh, dude, it's Delco.
It's 2011 when Lou Will hit the shot to beat the Heat.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a moment.
No, yes, that was on Easter.
Yep, on Easter.
On Easter.
Yep.
Yes,
great things happen on Easter.
Yeah, absolutely. So coming up next, legend Brian Westbrook. We'll talk to B. West about Eagles Rams. Want to talk to him a little bit about the Saquon record thing, you know, because that there was a remember the tweet from him during the Giants game would have had the record already. So the great Brian Westbrook joins us next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.